Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Why don't you give Jesus a massive round of applause? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. No matter how you feel tonight, whether you feel awesome and on top of the world, and you're one of the first to clap your hands just then, or whether you feel really down and broken and depressed and defeated and full of sin and can't stop sinning or whatever, wherever you're at between those spectrums, so to speak, like we were singing just then, Jesus washes all our sin away. You know, no matter how good we think we are, no matter how good we may have been doing this last week, feeling good, doing good things, maybe reading our Bible lots, or feeling terrible and full of sin and can't stop sinning and feel really bad. Actually, the only thing that matters is that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. And when he does that, he washes all your sin and all my sin away. And this is why we worship him the way we do. This is why we clap our hands and sing. And some people dance. Because we love Jesus and he's washed all of our sin away. Wiped the slate clean. And can give us a brand new life. I don't know where you're at this tonight, but Jesus is here for you. He absolutely loves you. And it's no mistake that you're here. So I just encourage you, wherever you're at in your heart, in your life, just to close your eyes right now where you are. And just to open your heart to him. And maybe you don't know Jesus, but you can say in your heart, if you can, you can say, Lord, I just open myself to you tonight. And see what he does. And he has something wonderful for each of us. So thank you, Lord. We give this meeting to you. We give this night to you. Holy Spirit, we just pray that you would come and fill us all right now. Touch each and every one of us tonight. Bless our hearts. Encourage our hearts and minds. Strengthen us where we feel weak. Encourage us, Lord. Bless us this evening as we meet with you, as we worship you. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, coming down from heaven, dying on a cross, shedding his blood. All of our sins can be washed away. And for that, Lord, if nothing else, we worship you and we praise you for that. In Jesus' name, let's continue to worship him. Amen. Why don't we just stay where we are and just keep focused on the Lord? We're going to keep singing this same song for a few more minutes. We're going to take a collection now as well. Collection's a form of our worship, how we worship God, not just with our hands and voices, but also with our money. You know, the Bible says, Jesus said, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. When Jesus says this, he's not talking about the money, he's talking about our heart, because that's what Jesus is really interested in. He's interested in your heart and my heart. So I just challenge you, Christians, to open your heart to Jesus, to give him your heart, whether you pay by cash or by direct debit or whatever, to give to God, to worship him with our money. For those of you who are new to this and you don't really understand this giving, then feel totally free to please let the buckets pass you by. It's absolutely fine. Jesus loves you. He's just glad that you're here. And we'll just keep singing this song as we take the collection before we go on the next one. Amen. Amen. Why don't you give Jesus another round of applause? Thank you, Jesus. You're so awesome. You're so good to us, God. Hallelujah, amen. Why don't you take your seats? So we're running this series on these Sunday nights, as most of you know, or as a lot of you know, called 12 Angry Men. And two of those angry men are going to be preaching in a minute. Tonight is about a desire for growth. So Tom and Chris are going to be preaching about a desire for a growth with God. And then next week's our last week of the series. Oh, yay. But The following 2 weeks, so the 11th and the 18th, we have Christmas services that we're going to be running. So they're going to be absolutely awesome. And the guys have convinced me to dress up as Elf, so it's going to be pretty weird and pretty awesome. And we're going to show funny video clips and all the rest. So it's going to be a fantastic opportunity to come, not just have some fun and mince pies and mulled wine, but also to invite your friends too. Maybe people, friends or family that don't know Jesus, perhaps at work or whatever. It'd be an awesome opportunity to invite those people to these services to just have some fun and have mince pie and mulled wine and hear a gospel Christmas message as well. So I'd encourage you to invite people to those. It's going to be absolutely awesome. And we're going to have Simon now. He's going to share his testimony. So would you like to give him a welcome? It's the first time he's given his testimony. Come on, Simon.
Good evening. Well, I've just finished doing Route 61, and this year has been quite a ride. It's been quite a journey, and I just thought, you know, I get in touch with myself and with the Lord, and he basically said, right, you need to go out today and buy a lemon. The most randomest thing ever in my life, a lemon. Don't even like them. But it's a part of my testimony. I wasn't always a Christian. While I had faith, I never quite followed the church. I was a very, very bad person when I was younger and damaged a lot of people on my journey. I was kind of very bitter, thick-skinned, a bit like a lemon. Kind of led my own life, tried to get involved with church groups, kind of did like Spring Harvest and stuff like that, in the hope that I would actually hear this voice that everyone's always said, you know, the Lord will speak to you, he will say, I love you. And that's all I ever wanted to hear. But unfortunately for me, I wasn't prepared to let go of my old self. This kind of led up to last year, and I got to a point in my life where it's just like, right, I'm alone, I'm single, I don't want to be the old Simon anymore. I want to be who God wanted me to be. And things kind of degraded very fast for me on that point. I met my beautiful fiance, things were going okay, but life threw a curveball. My past came back and hit me and Lindsay and my family and her family very, very hard. And I got to a point where it's like, I've had absolutely enough of this. You know, the enemy is not going to control my life anymore. And so I said, right, Lord, I'm coming back to church. And I knew of Amazing Grace. And my mum was going, come on, come back to church. You really need it. And it was like, no. And then I came, and it's just like, wow, this place is amazing. Lindsay came along as well, and we came at one of the most roughest parts of our lives, and yet we felt like this was a family. And that was my start of my journey. This year, got baptized. Thank you. because I was in defiance, saying, look, the enemy is not ever going to hold on my life anymore. You have made me do some very bad things in my time. I am not proud of these things. They will never have hold of me again, or Lindsay, or anybody else. And I gave that all up in for baptism. Did Route 61. What a ride. One of the most hardest things we've ever done, especially confession. A lot of people go, oh, this mirror thing's terrible. It's not. Sitting down and saying, I confess the worst parts of your life, or my life, was the hardest things for myself and my personal journey. But the minute I did that, I was free. My soul was just, it was just raised. It was just like, this is amazing. And basically, the Lord had taken a thick-skinned sour lemon and put the right mix in, and it became a very palatable person, which is me, I think. I think I'm doing all right. Lindsay's laughing. But yeah, we have seen broken families mend this year. We have seen myself get back into work, which we never thought would ever happen. I have seen my past wiped completely clean. And, yeah, that's my testimony. Amen.
Wow, wasn't that awesome? I love those videos. They're amazing. I've actually never seen that version of Joseph before, but I had everybody literally around me was singing it, and it was like, oh, that's beautiful. Because everybody who sings around, who was around me singing, they always sing really well, and I'm rubbish, but it sounded lovely anyway. So in this particular series of an evening services, we've been talking about the different tribes of Israel. Just get all my notes in order, sorry. So this evening, we're obviously looking at Joseph, for those of you who hadn't realised that, and about what he particularly means. Now, Joseph was all about being an increaser and was about growth, and particularly a desire for having spiritual growth, like Andy said. So we saw the tree obviously growing there. So it says in Galatians 5, 22 to 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law." Now this evening we're going to focus on faithfulness, patience, and peace. Now when I separated up a desire for spiritual growth, I went to the dictionary. So I had a look, and desire is to fervently want something, to really desperately desire it. So even if you have to wait for it, to go out and get it, okay, no matter how long it takes. Now, we all desire certain things in our lives. A beautiful wife, well, check, I've got that one. I'm doing very well. A good job, check, yeah, I've got that one too. Family, friends, yeah, check. Good car, working on that one. Now, growth. Growth is a little more I know something about in work terms, okay? For those of you who don't know, I'm a personal trainer. So I work in a gym. Who was that? Was that? Oh, it was Ricky. So I'm a personal trainer, I work in a gym, but I also teach people to swim as well. Now, people want to grow in lots of different things. Some of them from speed or stamina, some people endurance or strength, lots of different things. Now, the way we do this is not by maintaining the status quo. We don't try and do the same things again and again. We don't try and continue with the same exercises. We don't do the same resistance for the same amount of time. Okay, we go through different movements, different weights, different speeds, varying different durations. Okay, we never try and do it the same all the time. Now, spiritual growth is us trying to become more like Jesus, striving to become perfect followers of him and his ways. Okay, now, achieving spiritual growth is exactly the same as doing any other type of growth, okay? Sometimes we go through different resistances for different periods of time, but we come out on the other side stronger for it. Joseph was a man who had been given a promise by God. He'd been given a dream by God. But then he was sold into slavery by his brothers for 20 shekels of silver. That was the first bit of resistance that he underwent. Now, Jesus, years later, was also sold out by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Now, If you look at the cost of inflation over the years, 20 shekels of silver in Joseph's day was exactly the same to the penny as 30 pieces of silver in Jesus' time. Their lives were worth the same. Okay? It's amazing how much Joseph was like Jesus was all those years later. Now, even though he'd been sold into slavery, Joseph was still faithful to God, and God blessed him. He made him the head of his master's household. Again, you saw kind of in Joseph's memories. He became, you know, really top-notch in that house. Jesus was faithful to God's plan for him, even when it meant, as we sang in the song earlier on, he'd been given up to be beaten, mocked, scorned, flogged, and ultimately crucified on the cross. Joseph then got put through another resistance. So he'd been built up to be the head of his master's household, and then he was sent to prison for a crime he didn't commit. Now, if anybody is old enough to remember the 18, yeah, they went to prison for a crime they didn't commit. Now, they promptly escaped from a government security stockade, but Jesus didn't do that bit, and neither did Joseph, who was the one I was talking about. But again, Joseph was still faithful. He held on to that promise and the plan that God had for him from all those years ago. He had faith that God's plan for him would be fulfilled, that he would be lifted up out of that prison, and that he would be exalted. Now, Jesus had faith in God's plan as well, that he would defeat death, that death on a cross, that he would be raised up to the right hand of God. Even though it meant going through the intense suffering of being crucified, that death on the cross, that horrible death. But more than this, that wasn't the worst agony. The worst agony was the complete separation from God, which he'd never ever experienced before. He took our sins on himself, and then he couldn't be with God because God can't have any sin in him. So he was effectively ripped away. That complete separation was horrific and agony for him. Now, both these men still had faith that they would be brought back from death. Joseph, as far as his brothers were aware, had died in Egypt. You know, they sold the lie to their father, so their father was convinced he was dead. The brothers were like, yeah, he's probably died by now. It's far too hard for him over there. So when they went to Egypt, they didn't expect to see him, so they didn't recognize him. When he stood in front in the big palace, they looked at him and they didn't see their brother. They didn't recognize him. Even when he invited them to come and eat with him, they still didn't know who he was. Jesus, similar thing. He actually died. And when he came back, he met up with some of his followers, some of his spiritual brothers, and walked from Jerusalem to Emmaus for 7 miles. Guess what? Didn't recognize him. Like I said, the link there is amazing. It was only when he finally broke bread, or when Joseph actually said to them, "It's me," that these people, these brothers, realized. Now, my personal training clients and the people I teach to swim, they have to have a little bit of faith in me. Okay? But hopefully, I can get them to achieve their goals. I can make them fitter, faster, stronger. That I can teach them to swim. It's always a good one. Even if they're starting completely from the beginning of their journey, okay? They've never been in the gym before, never done any exercise, never been in the water before. Maybe, with some of the kids that I teach, they can't even stand up, okay? Our pool's only 4 foot deep, but I teach them little kids. Okay? So, they've got to have faith in me that I can help them, that actually, I won't let them drown, that I'm always going to be there keeping them safe. No matter how hard it gets. Now, some of us might be completely at the beginning of our relationship with Jesus. Some of us might not have even started it yet. So we need to believe and have faith that God will never let us harm ourselves, that he'll always be there protecting us, that he won't let us drown in our circumstances. We need to grow in faith that God can bring us into a deeper relationship with him, a more trusting relationship with him, and that he can make us more spiritually mature. Tom.
Absolutely awesome. You notice the ginger theme going on. You notice even Joseph is ginger. I think Jesus was ginger as well. So, amen. Thanks. So, faith. Faith is interesting because, you know, faith is a gift. It's not something that you earn, faith. Oh, no, it's a gift from God. All those characteristics that Chris read out, all those fruits of the Holy Spirit, are the things that God grows in people who are born again. Are you born again? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you asked Jesus to come into your life and welcome the Holy Spirit? We're going to give you an opportunity to do that at the end. You know, Joseph is an interesting character, isn't he? Joseph went through a lot there. He was in prison for 2 years, at least, as far as we know from what the Bible says. 2 years. And he kept his faith in the dream that God showed him. God showed him he was going to be a ruler and his brothers would bow down to him. But at the time when you saw he was in prison, that faith was tested, all right. Joseph had to wait for the promise of God. But God had promised that. Joseph did really have that dream. And God promised it. But Joseph had to wait for that to come to pass. Just like Jesus had to wait. You know, Jesus was shown by God, and he knew what he had to do. He knew that he came to die for the sins of the world. He knew that he came to die for you and me. But he had to wait for it to come to fruition. Jesus had to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to start his ministry, his 3-year time walking around the earth, healing the sick, preaching the gospel, telling people to repent of their sins and follow him. Jesus had to wait for the time to be right, for him to glorify God and to fulfill God's plan, just like Joseph. You know, the Bible talks a bit about waiting. Let me tell you a couple of things the Bible says. The Lord is good to those who wait for him. So patience is good, apparently. Another place says, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. I don't like waiting, do you? I'm not very good at waiting. We've moved house recently, and you know, when you move house, you have to phone all the people who you pay your money out to, your direct debits and your standing orders, those things that we all love. And you go on the phone, you think, right, I'm going to call this person today. I'm going to get it done. But it ends up taking absolutely ages because you never get through to the person that you want to get through to. And often you get passed around or you get put on hold. And it takes forever and I just hate it. I hate waiting. When I'm in the queue at McDonald's, I hate waiting. I'm like, it's meant to be fast food, isn't it? Why the heck am I waiting? We don't like waiting, do we? Oh, that's because the world is in a big hurry. The world around us is busy, 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 isn't it? We're told the opposite. We're told, don't wait, do it now. Buy now, pay later. You can have it now. Don't worry about paying, that will work itself out. You don't wait for anything these days. You don't wait for anything. We don't like waiting. You know, I'm very bad at waiting. And the world is forcing us to be quick and make quick decisions. But God doesn't want that. You know, patience is a gift, just like faith. Patience is a gift from God, something that's grown in Christians by the Holy Spirit, a fruit of the Holy Spirit. That's what patience is. God wants us to wait because when we wait, our faith grows. Faith begins to really work when it's tested, you know. You notice Joseph's faith was tested. It was tested. And through that test, it grew. My faith has been tested quite often, actually. I've been a Christian 8 years. And what I've learned from these 8 years is that when I'm tested and when I'm waiting, even though I don't like it, God is doing something. You know, God showed me a picture once of my son. And many of you know that my son is autistic and he doesn't speak. He's never spoken. He's 4.5 years old and he's never said a word, really. He's said some things that we thought might be words. But to be honest, he's never said a word. But last year, Stacey and I had a dream on the same night. I mean, can you believe this? On the same night, we had this dream. And we both saw Nathaniel speaking to us clearly. To the extent that I woke up and I said to Stacey, I just had this awesome dream. And she was already smiling. And she said, so did I. And I said, what was your dream about? Well, she said, in my dream, Nathaniel spoke and he said, I love you, Mummy. And in my dream, Nathaniel spoke to me as well. Can you imagine? We've been praying for this for ages, for years now. It still hasn't happened. We're waiting for this to happen. Just like Joseph was waiting for his dream to be fulfilled, this is our dream. Our dream is that our little boy will be speaking just like every other little boy. He'll be able to say, Mummy and Daddy, I love you. And he'll understand when we speak back to him. Sometimes you have to wait for dreams to be fulfilled. That's what faith is, you know. We have faith that God is going to fulfill that dream. Because no one has dreams on the same night about the same thing, do they? That can only be from God. And we're holding on to that dream. And we're sure it's going to happen. I wonder what dreams God has shown you. I wonder if there are things in your life that you're waiting for. Maybe it's healing. Maybe you're in pain right now. And you're waiting to be healed. God wants to heal you. But God's in no rush sometimes. I don't know why. But for whatever reason, God is not in a rush. God is not in a hurry. Satan has a plan of speeding us up, you know, to make quick decisions about things. Quick decisions are bad decisions. God decisions are decisions that take a little bit of time. I wonder what you're waiting for. I wonder what God has promised you. Or I wonder just what you want. You know, the preacher, 18th century preacher, D.L. Moody, throughout his life he prayed for 100 people. He prayed that those 100 people would come to faith in Jesus. By the end of his life, 95 of those people had put their faith in Jesus. It's pretty good, isn't it? It's not bad. 95% success rate. Sounds good, doesn't it? But do you know what's more amazing? Is that his funeral, the other 5 also came to faith. Isn't that awesome? You know, when God shows you something and you believe it and you have faith for it and you wait for it, God honors it. God honors real faith, even if it takes a lifetime. I wonder what you want tonight. Maybe it's provision. Maybe it's money that you need. Maybe it's a car or a house that you need. Maybe it's something that you haven't got that you need. We often need things, don't we? We need things and we can't do without them sometimes. I wonder if that's you tonight. You're desperate for something and you just don't have it and you need it. Well, God wants us to wait sometimes in order to make good decisions. You know, I spoke about us moving recently, and moving was a difficult thing. And the first thing that was difficult about it was we'd never bought a house before, this house that we've got. And we had to find the right house. I mean, how stressful is that? Looking for the right house. So I don't have a clue. I'm not like a handyman like these guys. I'm not very good DIY-wise. So I thought, right, I don't want a house that you need to do up. I just want a new house, please. I just want a house where you can just walk in the door. Thank you. So you know, I prayed for this kind of house. And, you know, we saw this new house and, you know, I quite liked it, but Stacey didn't really like it. You know, I couldn't believe it. I thought I'd found this house. And Stacey didn't like it. It was like, no. So anyway, I prayed. I asked God to show me if this was the right house, all right? So I said, can you give me a sign, God, that this is the right house? So we looked at this house. And then Stacey said she didn't really like it. And I was a bit gutted. And then the sales representative for the builder of this house called me the day after and she said, oh, by the way, we didn't tell you. The house price has dropped by £10,000. Huh? Okay. That sounds like God's answered my prayer, but I'm still not sure. How can I be sure that that's you, God? So I said, right, can you show me something else, God? Can you show me something else to give me real faith that this is the right house? So, sure enough, a couple of days later, I got this email from Miller Homes head office, all right? And it said, we'll give you £1,000 towards your legal fees. Huh? £1,000? Are you sure? So I forwarded it. I said, right, I'm gonna see if this is going to happen for me. So I rang the sales representative and I said, I've just received an email saying that we could get £1,000 towards our fees. And she was like, what? No, sorry, no, that's not right. And I said, no, I have. I've got this email. So she said, all right, well, forward me the email. But she didn't believe it. So I forwarded her this email. And she said, oh, okay, let me have a look into it. And she rang head office, apparently, and she got back to us. And she said to me, yeah, you can have that. You can have that £1,000. Oh, so you dropped £10,000. You've given us £1,000. Surely this is you, God, but still, you know, me, my faith wasn't in the house yet. I needed a third thing, and I said, Lord, show me a third thing, please. I mean, this is growing my faith, I tell you. Waiting and waiting to make this big decision. And so the third thing was this. When we went to see the house, it didn't have a fence in between our garden and the garden next door. Had a little tiny fiddly thing, I don't know what you call it, but it wasn't really a fence, okay? So I said to God, right, if this house is going to be our house, put that fence in. That's quite specific, isn't it? This is often how prayer works, you know. God wants you to be specific. So, all right, I said, okay, Lord, can you give us a fence? And if you give us that fence, and, you know, along with the fact that you've given us £10,000 off and £1,000 towards our fees, I'll believe then that you want this to be our house. And you know what? The fence was there. The next time we went to see the house, the fence was there. This is after the person showing us around the house has said, oh, no, you won't get a fence. I mean, God is good. God blesses us if we wait and we trust in him. It's got nothing to do with my house. You understand what I'm saying? It's about trusting in God. Trusting in God and waiting when you've got decisions to make is really important. You know what I had when I'd prayed those three times and every time God answered my prayers? I had peace. Peace. I wonder if you've got peace right now. You know, peace isn't some kind of spiritual marshmallow. If you know, he has ever got peace. It's not like that. Peace actually means something very different. Peace, shalom, the Hebrew word for peace, means oneness with God. You know, you can only really have peace if you know God and you experience an intimate relationship with God that only comes through Jesus. When Christians pray about things and they have peace, oh, then they know the waiting is over. The time is to make the decision. I wonder if you're waiting for something and you need peace. Because when we pray as Christians, once the barrier of sin has been removed by Jesus dying on the cross, once you believe that and you're following Jesus, you've repented of your sins, then you have full access to God. You can stand in the throne room of God and ask for anything you like. And really, God will hear you. And God wants us to be close to him and have peace. The world around us is full of worry, isn't it? Full of anxiety about what's going to happen next. Everyone's worried about what's going to happen, what's going to happen next. What's going to happen in my life? What's going to happen the other side of the world to those poor people? The world is full of worry. And worry is the opposite of peace, isn't it? Jesus said this. He said, do not worry about your life, about the clothes you wear, about the food you eat. Don't worry about anything. God doesn't want you and I to worry because he knows that worry wrecks our lives. You know, worrying about things absolutely wrecks our lives. It prevents us from doing anything for God because it's anti-faith worry. Fear is the opposite of faith, isn't it? If you're full of fear, full of worry, full of anxiety, you don't have peace. And if you don't have peace, you don't have closeness with God. And he wants us to have that close relationship with him. Let me tell you what the Apostle Paul says about this. He says, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. You know, thanksgiving's an interesting word, but thanksgiving means just thanking God for the things that he's done. You know, when you're going through something difficult, isn't it easy to just think about that all the time? Think about the difficulty, rather than remembering actually all the blessings that God has given you. The fact that you're walking around breathing air is a blessing, isn't it? A real blessing. The fact that you have food to eat when many, many millions don't is a blessing, isn't it? The fact that you have running water, you can turn on a tap and have a shower. Many, many people don't even have water to drink. It's a blessing upon blessing that we have. Many, many blessings. Georgia, our daughter, used to come home singing this song. She goes to a little Catholic school and she sings this song and it goes like this. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. You know, if you think about all the ways you're blessed, I tell you, that's when peace comes. That's when the situation you're in changes to being not important anymore. Because when you focus on God, he gives you peace. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, friends, focus not on your problem, but focus on God and receive his peace. I'm just going to finish with this one story. You know, when we've been in hospital quite a lot with our son Nathaniel because he's had a lot of fits, he's had a lot of seizures. And when he had these seizures, we often were rushed into hospital. Many of you know this. And when we're in hospital, I never really went. I stayed at home with the kids, and Stacey went into hospital. And around February, March time this year, the last couple of weeks in February and first few weeks in March, we're in hospital a lot with Nathaniel. You know, I would often get a call from Stacey on the phone at work, and she'd be saying, come home now, Nathaniel's having a seizure, and she was crying her eyes out and crying her eyes out. It was a very stressful time. I had to rush home and get back home and see my son on the kitchen floor having a seizure that we couldn't pull him out of. Sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 10 minutes, sometimes half an hour seizure. Ambulance people there trying to calm him down, trying to stop him. Very difficult time this. Do you think I was worried? Oh yeah, I was massively worried. When Stacey was in hospital with Nathaniel and I was looking after the other kids, I was at home worrying. And you know, this one time when they were in hospital for about a week, this one time, I was really ill as well. I had man flu. I'm not just talking about this flu that women get as well. No, no. Man flu. I was seriously ill. And I was feeling battered, you know. I couldn't sleep because I was worried. I was ill, you know, feeling just pants. And I knew Stacey was in hospital not sleeping either because she couldn't because all these tests there to do on Nathaniel all the time and giving him all these different drugs, and he hated it and all kinds of horrible things. And I didn't have this peace at all. I was so, so worried. And, you know, I was so worried that I didn't pray. I couldn't think about anything else but this. I was so, so worried about my little boy. Is he going to continue being like this forever? Is this going to go on for the rest of his life? Lord, please, I would just say a little simple prayer. Please, no. Please, not that. And, you know, I would read not very much of my Bible. But what I did read was a little bit from this. This is called The Daily Light on the Daily Path. And what it is a little collection of Bible verses for the day. You read a little bit in the morning and a little bit in the evening. Just a paragraph of Bible verses. And, you know, at this time I was so, so worried. And so I could barely read this, if I'm honest with you. So I thought, right, I'll open it up to the date. It's got the date in. So I read date, February 22nd, right? What does it say? You know, I was shattered at this time. Absolutely shattered. I knew Stacy was shattered. We're absolutely at the end of ourselves. All I wanted was a good night's sleep. And I read this. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. I mean, do you think God was speaking to me right then? It's the only thing I read. God was speaking to me at that point. So I texted it to Stacy, and it massively encouraged her. And you know, that night, she slept in hospital, Nathaniel slept, I slept, we had peace. Not because we'd earned it, but because we'd trusted in God a little bit. Do you have that peace? Do you need peace tonight? Should we stand? I wonder what area you need peace in tonight. Should we bow our heads and close our eyes? I just want to pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're our perfect example. That you want to grow all of these gifts, all these fruits of your Holy Spirit in us. You know, if you want to receive more of the character of Jesus, more of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, then I want to just encourage you to put out your hands. If you want to receive these things that we've talked about tonight, faith, patience, peace, they're yours, you know, if you know Jesus. But maybe you don't. Maybe you don't know Jesus. So let me encourage you. If you don't know Jesus, it's easy, you know. There's nothing you have to do but ask him to come into your life. So while our eyes are closed, I just want to encourage you to say this prayer with me. Shall we repeat this after me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me. Thank you for suffering for my sins. For having your body broken for me. And for having your blood poured out for me. Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, for the things I do wrong. Please forgive me, Lord, and come into my life and change me from the inside out to be like you. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill me and start to grow all of your fruits in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, well done. Should we give these guys a round of applause?
Yay!
But maybe you want something else tonight. Maybe you're a Christian already. You've come to faith in Jesus already. Maybe you want prayer for some area that you have. Carl's going to come and share something.
Awesome. Has God been speaking to you tonight? He has been to me. I absolutely love Jesus. I love to be close to him, and I hate when I'm not. You know, when Simon was showing the lemon, he said the Holy Spirit prompted him to bring it. I think there's something in it. You know, do you feel maybe like a lemon? We can often get like this, you know. God's been speaking tonight. He's here, isn't he? He's been drawing us to him. And I don't want to lose this moment to come to him. You know, being like a lemon, it's actually been full of rebellion. What Simon was saying, it was brilliant testimony. Very pure and awesome. Well done, Simon. Very open and honest. But, you know, being like a lemon is like being rebellious. And if you have rebellion in your heart, it's really hard for yourself. And maybe you feel like a lemon. Maybe you feel like this rebellion in your heart. And you know what? It might damage other people, but it damages you the most. It keeps you sour. I have you got rebellion in your heart. Can I challenge you to come forward and just get rid of it? Because you're damaging yourself. The prodigal son who left his father. Yes, he hurt his father. But who got damaged? Who was the one eating with the pigs? Who was the one who wasted his life away? Yes, the father was hurt. But this rebellion. And you know, your rebellion. Often it's so easy to rebel against church and other Christians and judge people and sit in the back and that's whack and gently, gently judging and getting a bit down and looking from a distance and nobody understands me. These Christians don't understand me. But actually, it's so subtle, but you're rebelling against God. You think you're rebelling against people, but it's actually God that you're distancing yourself away from. It's Jesus. You're pushing away, pushing away, pushing away. Not just other people, not just the church. It's Jesus you're pushing away. So if you want to come to him, feel free to come forward for some prayer.
Amen. Awesome. Let's just keep focused on Jesus for a moment. We can stick some music on as well if that's okay. And if you need to come forward for any of these things, then just don't hesitate. Just come forward. And we always pray for people on these nights, so don't be afraid to come forward. And if anything was speaking to you as well from what the guys were preaching about when you saw that video, you know, like, I don't know whether you're in that point in your life where once you had this dream and you thought your life was going to be this certain way with a white picket fence and you'd get married to the perfect person and you'd have children and everything would just be wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. But it doesn't always unravel that way, does it? Maybe you found yourself like Joseph in that video, like in a dark place. Maybe feeling a prison in your mind. You just feel down, 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 battered, defeated, fed up, sick and tired for whatever reasons. If that's you as well, why don't you come forward as well and we'll pray for you. There's absolutely no rush. We're not going anywhere. So just make your way to the front and we'll pray for you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, then you come forward. If you want to touch off God, then come forward. You know, there's some people here, like when Tom was saying his prayer, all he could manage was, please no, please no. There's some people in this room that all you can manage is something like that. Oh, please no. Or something so simple. Maybe you can't even pray at all because you feel so down. And all your prayer is just a sigh. If that's you, then just come forward. I believe God wants to meet with you tonight. And people are going to pray for you and things are going to change in your life. Because God's going to meet with you. God's going to touch you. It's not about coming to the forward to me or to anybody else for any reason. It doesn't matter. I'm fine. If you come forward to God, and meet with God tonight because he wants to meet with you. He's here for you. He loves you. He wants to touch you, to give you peace in your heart where there's been no peace, maybe for years. God wants to bless you tonight. So if that's you, just keep coming forward. Some people are here already. If you want to just go and have a tea and coffee, then feel absolutely free. Very welcome. It's over there. And if you need to come forward, then please keep coming forward and there'll be a bunch of people praying as well down here. So well done. God bless you. We'll see you next week.